聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2020年2月12日，星期三。我们再次荣幸的邀请到我儿子小冉同学，继续讲解《永恒的启示念经》十一节单元成为咱们的 Hare Krishna。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 20. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatan Goswami in the science of the Absolute Truth.
今天我们继续来学习《永恒的启示念经》是这三个章节里的《曼达利拉中篇逍遥》的第20章，主师柴加涅马哈图布教导萨南坦戈斯瓦米有关绝对真理的科学。
We are broadcasting this morning from Sri Ramayapur. It is 4:30 in the morning.
今天我们是在Sri Ramayapur马亚普圣地早上4:30再给大家直播。
And we're going to continue.On the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Sanatan Goswami.
我们继续来讲述 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Sanatan Goswami 之间的对话。
Over the past 10 days, we had the great fortune to receive the Chinese devotees at our home here in Mayapur.
在过去的十天，我们非常幸运的在 Mayapur 我们的家接待了中国奉献者。
And we have been presenting a summary study.Of the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita.
我们在对 Chaitanya Charitamrita 我们的 Chaitanya 做进做一个概述性的一个系列讲座。
So the devotees are very enlivened.
奉献者们呢，他们都非常喜欢聆听。
And we had some great conversations.
我们之间有非常好的这种讨论。
Devotees have asked many good questions.
然后奉献者也提出了很多很好的问题。
Because the beauty of Chaitanya Charitamrita is that you can extract from the narration many important points which are relevant to our everyday life as a devotee.
那 Chaitanya Charitamrita 这部经典的美妙之处就是你可以在讲述逍遥时光的过程当中就是汲取出很多非常重要的要点。那么这些要点呢，它跟我们奉献者的日常的生活是息息相关的。
Especially how to understand Srila Prabhupada's books.
特别是怎么样去理解圣典佛家，怎么样去理解 Srila Prabhupada 的书籍。
But more importantly, how to balance our daily life between our families, our work, and our own personal sadhana.
尤其是怎么样在我们日常的工作生活和我们的 sadhana 规范修习当中找到一个平衡。
This is what devotees find most difficult to achieve.
那我觉得这是奉献者们觉得最难做到的一点。
And also to study Prabhupada's books, it is preferable to do it with other devotees.
去研习师了 Prabhupada 的书，最佳的方法还是和其他的奉献者一起学习。
Because you can interact and you can exchange your thoughts and you can ask questions.
因为你们可以互动，因为奉献者一起学习的话，可以互动，可以交流，可以相互提问。
We have no way to check how the Chinese devotees actually understand what they read in Prabhupada's books.
我们现在还没办法找到一个办法，能够非常清楚的知道。中国的奉献者对 Srila Prabhupada 的书籍到底是理解了多少？
We also have no way to tell how often and how much the devotees in the Chinese Yatra actually read
Prabhupada's book. So in
this series of lectures that we have conducted on the Chaitanya Charitamrita here in Mayapur, we have pressed on the important part of a devotee's life, which is to regular study systematically whatever Srila Prabhupada has presented in his books.
那么现在在这个释迦牟尼佛通过这个系列的这个课程之后呢，我们实际上也就是强调了，怎么样把释迦牟尼佛的这个书籍如何去很好的阅读，并且把里面的这些学习到这些要点和我们实际的生活结合起来。
Krishna consciousness is a very simple process.
Krishna 知觉其实是一个非常简单的程序。
Hearing about Krishna.
去聆听有关Krishna的话题。
Remembering Krishna.
去意念Krishna。
Glorifying Krishna.
荣耀Krishna。
Serving Krishna.
服务Krishna。
Associating with the devotees.
和奉献者一起联姻。
Relishing Krishna Prasadam.
去品尝Krishna的Prasadam。
But when it comes to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness,
但是当我们说到Krishna知觉的哲学的时候,
how many can actually understand the essence of the philosophy which is found in Srila Prabhupada's books?
那究竟有多少人能够真正的理解到Srila Prabhupada的书籍当中所呈现的哲学要义呢？
And as I always mention, we have to read Srila Prabhupada's books with true minds.
我经常说我们需要从两个思维角度来看Srila Prabhupada的书。
One is to read Srila Prabhupada's books for our own purification and our own education.
这一方面就是说，这是一种自我教育、自我净化的。
And the other is how to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness so we can explain it to others and present it to the public.
那另外一点就是说我们究竟对这些Srila Prabhupada的哲学有多么深刻的这个理解，怎么样去理解这些知识，然后去呈现给别人，呈现给大众。
So this is something we have to keep in mind on every single page that we read when we read Prabhupada's book.
当我们在翻开Srila Prabhupada的书籍的时候，每一页，每看一页，我们都要有这样的一种意识。
Especially in China, the philosophy of impersonalism is very, very strong and very deeply rooted in people's hearts.
特别是在中国，这种非常格主义的这个思想是无处不在的，而且根深蒂固的存在于中国人的思维里。
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it his own personal mission to uproot this impersonal tendency that's sitting in the heart.
那把这种根植于内心深处的非人格主义的思想刨除，这也是如Chaitanya Mahaprabhu所建立起来的一个个人的使命。
So this is what is taking place here in Varanasi when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining the science of the absolute truth.
那么在这个Varanasi呢，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu他就在确立Krishna作为绝对真理的那一面。So
first he will teach Sanatan Goswami about the science of Krishna consciousness.
首先呢，他就要去教这个Sanatan Goswami 有关这个绝对真理Krishna知觉的科学。And
he does this over a period of 2 months.
那整个的这个过程呢，延续了两个月的时间。And
then after 2 months, he will meet face to face with the Mayavadi sannyasis.
那两个月之后呢，他就和那些Mayavadi sannyasi, 也就是假象中的托钵僧们面对面的在一起。And
he will uproot their impersonal tendencies and turn them into Vaishnavas.
然后呢，他现在要做的就是要把他们的这种 非人格主义的这种倾向能够连根拔除，把他们转换成为Vaishnava奉献者。
The conclusion is that each devotee should learn to become a proper, useful instrument in the hands of the spiritual master.
那结论就是说, 每一个奉献者都要努力地成为自己的灵性导师的手中, 一个非常得力的工具。
We are also very grateful for all the Chinese devotees who are sticking together online because they cannot come to the Holy Dham.
那我们也要感谢所有的中国的奉献者, 那些不能来到圣地玛雅福但是现在在网上能够非常密切的联谊的奉献者。
We have noticed how devotees, by being restricted, they can increase their sadhana.
奉献者虽然受到了一些外在的限制, 但是呢, 现在在这个sadhana规范的休息, 方面呢, 却有长足, 长足的进步。
And we also pray that all the Chinese devotees are remaining very healthy and enthusiastic.
我也希望所有的中国的奉献者能够保持健康和热情。
Here in Mayapur, there is only a very small group of Chinese devotees. There's not many people here.
现在在Mayapur呢, 这个中国奉献者不多, 其实这就是一小群中国的奉献者。
And they are engaged. All day, every day, they go from one program to another. I don't see any Chinese devotees here in Mayapur being idle or just doing nothing.
那中国的奉献者每天都一个一个活动，一个一个节目的参加，也是非常的忙碌。我还没有看到哪个奉献者在那儿闲逛，无所事事的。
So in this way, we are united, the small group of Chinese devotees here in Mayapur and the big group of Chinese devotees back in China.
那就这样呢，我们在Mayapur的这一小群的奉献者们能够团结凝聚在一起。同样的，我们中国的大范围的奉献者们也能够凝聚在一起。
And we cannot wait to get back to China and return to our regular devotional service.
我们已经等不及回中国，恢复我们的日常的正常的。
Thank you for being strong. Thank you for being determined.
感谢你们如此的坚强，你们的决心如此的坚定。
And now we will dive into discovering everything that there is to know about Krishna.
现在呢，就让我们投入到接下来的话题之中，从中去讨论和理解有关Krishna的一切。
Just briefly to recapitulate what we have been reading.
那我们现在先回顾一下我们之前所读的内容，进行一个概述性的讲说。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has established the authority and superiority of the Vedic literatures.
啊，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu建立了伟达经典的这个权威地位。
And he has established that within the Vedic literatures, there's only one objective, and that is to find Krishna.
然后他也明确地指出，其实伟达经中核心的要义就是其目的就是为了去了解、找到Krishna。
And there is one verse that keeps appearing in Srila Prabhupada's purport, actually in many of his books.
就是有这么一个诗节，是Srila Prabhupada这个书籍里经常在他的要旨当中能够看到的。
And that's the famous verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text 15.
那就是国家梵歌的第十五章的第十五个诗节。
Sarvasya chaham ridhi sanidhisto matak smritir jnanam apovanam cha vedeshta sarver aham eva vidya vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham ridhi sanidhisto. I am situated in everyone's heart.
我在众生的心中。
That's it. From me comes remembrance and forgetfulness.
一切记忆遗忘都自我而来。
I am the compiler of the Vedas.
我是伟达经的编纂者。
And I am the one to be known in the Vedas.
了解伟达经就是为了了解我。
So there are many mental speculators, or there are people who cultivate knowledge or practice yoga.
所以呢，有很多的这个修习瑜伽的这种休息室，或者说去培养知识的，或者是进行思辨的人。
And they are looking for the absolute truth.
他们都在寻找绝对真理。
But Lord Chaitanya is explaining to us that if the truth needs to be found in the Vedas, we will find it in the Supreme Personality of Krishna.
所以呢，如果去研习韦达经，就是为了去寻找绝对真理的话，那么这个绝对真理就可以在 Krishna 之中找到。
Jiva Goswami has made a very important statement.
Jiva Goswami 是句非常重要的话。
And Jiva Goswami is considered to be the highest and biggest scholar that has ever existed in this world.
Jiva Goswami 被誉为是这个史上，世界上最渊博的一位学者。
And he has explained that today, in the age that we live in,It is not possible to study thoroughly the Vedas.
他说呢，在我们所生活的这个年代，要去彻底的研习韦达经典，已经是不可能的了。
Why is that?
为什么他会这样说呢？
Because the Vedas are so vast.
因为韦达书经浩如烟海。
And so complex.
错综复杂。
Srila Vyasadeva has written the Vedas.So that people can understand 5,000 years ago about the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
那么在五千年之前，需要 Vyasadeva 他写了这些伟达经典，目的是为了让人们通过阅读伟达经典而了解绝对真理。
This is explained in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
这是在圣典国家瓦的第一篇。
How Srila Vyasadeva divided the Vedas into four sections.
那么里面就是讲到了 Srila Vyasadeva 是怎么样把这个韦达经一分为四变成四部的。
And he also wrote the text of the Mahabharata, the text of the Ramayana, the text of the Puranas, the ancient text, the ancient history.
然后呢他还写了就是 Mahabharata, 韦达的巴拉达摩诃婆罗多还有 Ramayana, 还有就是Purana, 宇宙古史。
And he was feeling, he was feeling kind of unsatisfied.
但是他的内心呢，还是感到非常的失落，就是觉得很不满。
So his spiritual master Narada Muni came on the scene.
然后他的灵性导师 Narada Muni 就来到了他的面前。
And he congratulated him for this enormous.Writing work.
首先他对于就是 Vyasadeva 完成了这些鸿篇巨制而就是祝贺他。
He told him you have done an amazing service in writing those Vedas.
然后呢他说呢你对这些伟达经的这些编撰的这个工作是非常的出色的非常卓越的。
But the most important part is missing.
但是你却遗漏了最重要的部分。
You have neglected glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead and described his own personal pastimes.
你忽略了对至尊人格守神的荣耀的描述，你也忽略了对他的这些逍遥时光的描述。
So now you have to write about this.
那现在呢，你就应当着笔于这些内容了。
So, Vyasadeva undertook the task to describe the pastimes of Lord Krishna as we find them in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
所以呢，这样 Vyasadeva 就接受了这样的一个任务，开始去写有关 Krishna 至尊主的逍遥时光。所以我们在这个圣典国家瓦坛里面就可以看到这部分内容。
So, Srimad Bhagavatam is also known as Bhagavat Purana.
圣典国家瓦坛是曼巴瓦坛还有另外的一个名字叫做 Bhagavat Purana
Purana means very old
Purana 的意思是非常古老在中文里在这里被翻译成往事书
But according to scholars and people who cultivate knowledge they don't consider the Puranas to be part of the Vedas
那么那些学者 According to the scholars and those who
very knowledgeable,
还有那些知识比较渊博的那些人就他们的这个观点而言呢，他们并不认为这个 Purana 往事书是属于这个宇宙古史，是属于伟大经的一部分。
There are 18 Puranas.
有十八部这样的往事书，有十八部。
There are Puranas.In a mode of ignorance, Puranas in a mode of passion, and Puranas in a mode of goodness.
这些宇宙古史呢可以分为三部分，有一部分呢是善良形态的，然后是第二部分是为畸形形态的人写的，还有一部分是愚昧形态的人写的。
And in the section of the Puranas in a mode of goodness, the top one is the Bhagavad Purana.
在这个愚昧形态的这些著作的部分当中，最高的就是说 Bhagavad Purana。
So the Bhagavad Purana is the Srimad Bhagavatam。
这个 Bhagavad Purana 是国家梵网师书，那指的就是圣典国家瓦塔。
It is also known as Amala Purana。
它还有一个名字叫做 Amala Purana。
Amala Purana means it is the ripened fruit of the Vedas。
它指的就是说是伟达经的成熟之果。
The essence of the Vedas is found in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
所以说在圣典国家瓦坛里面可以看到伟达经的成熟的果实。
So Jiva Goswami explained that nowadays it is not possible to explore and try to understand the Vedas. It is too vast.
Jiva Goswami 呢他说了，因为伟达经实在是太浩如烟海了。就是可以说是无穷无尽，所以在这个年代的人要去彻底的去研读这些伟大诸经，已经是力不从心了。
It is too complex.
太错综复杂了。
And above all, it is incomplete. There is only certain section of the Vedas that are still available.
而且不仅如此呢，因为这个伟大经传下来之后已经是不全了。所以现在呢，我们能够看到的这个伟达经也只是其中的一小部分。
Just like, from what I remember, the teachings of Confucius.
You mean the analect? 就好像是这个《论语》里边的这个孔子的教导。
But I think those who followed Confucius later on, they wrote 5 books, isn't it?And then they got lost. Many of them were lost.
I'm not quite sure if it's 5. 论语之后，这个后人还是写了一些儒家的这个经典，有五部。然后后来呢，也有在这个历史的这个时间的流逝之中，也有所流失。
I think Mencius or the son of Confucius, they wrote 5 books, and then many of them were lost.
这个我还不清楚。I don't remember that.
Of course. So what happened with Confucianism is they have to write the essence of Confucianism according to time and place. Every single time they have to rewrite it and rewrite it and rewrite it.
所以这个儒家的学者们也是这样的，他也是在根据在不同的年代、不同的这个时间，过一段时间就要重新的要写一些新的这个经典，然后要进行修编这样子。
But with the Vedic knowledge, the essence of the Vedas are presented in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, and this remains.The representation of Krishna in Kali Yuga.
那这个伟达经的这个精髓的这个部分被萃取出来呢，就是编纂成了圣典国家瓦坛，就是国家梵网师书。而Krishna 也就是以圣典国家瓦坛的面目出现在这个卡密年代。
When the sages of Nimisharanya gathered together after the disappearance of Lord Krishna.They perform the long sacrifice.
那在这个 Krishna 离开这个世界之后，南美什拉雅的森林的这些圣者们，他们就聚集在一起，举行了一个漫长的祭祀千年祭祀。
And they discuss that now that Lord Krishna has returned to his eternal abode, who will represent his personality in Kali Yuga.
那他们讨论的一个主题就是现在主已经离开这个世界，然后回归到这个灵性世界了。那么现在在这个卡利年代，由谁来代表？
And
they
decided that the Srimad Bhagavatam would be the literary representation of Lord Krishna for the whole of Kali Yuga. So Jiva Goswami's conclusion was that we cannot depend on the entirety of the Vedas and also the content of the Vedas. Therefore, we have to accept the Srimad Bhagavatam as the highest authority of all Vedic literatures for Kali Yuga. Therefore, everything that there is to know, we will find it in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
所以我们所想了解的一切的知识都可以在圣典博迦瓦坛里找到。
Sorry, everything that there is to know about Krishna.
我想说的就是有关Krishna, 确切地说就是有关Krishna的一切在圣典博迦瓦坛里都可以看到。
In terms of his own personal eternal abode in Goloka Vrindavan,
比如说他在这个Goloka Vrindavan的他的这个永恒的居所,
to his expansion within the spiritual world,
他在灵性世界他的这个扩展,
to his expansion within the material world,
一直到他在这个物质世界的化身,
his teachings and his pastimes,
他的这个物质世界的扩展，他的教导,
his relationship with the devotees,
他和奉献者之间的关系,
and all his opulences and material and spiritual energies.
他的富裕，他的灵性能量，物质能量。
This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now teaching to Sanatana Goswami.
那现在呢，就这些内容呢，就是Chaitanya Mahaprabhu在对Sanatana Goswami的这个对话当中所教导给他的。
This is what is so beautiful about the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
这就是Chaitanya Charitamrita的美妙之处。
Because in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we found the essence of all Vedic literatures, the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam.
所以在这个Chaitanya Charitamrita里面，其实我们就可以看到圣典博迦瓦坛还有博迦梵歌的精髓所在。
Plus the personal realization of Lord Chaitanya and all his followers.
还有主Chaitanya Mahaprabhu以及他的这些追随者们的个人觉悟。
And this will come out even more prominently later on when the six Goswamis of Vrindavan will write their own books.
那在这之后，当Vrindavan的这六Goswami也开始撰写他们的文献的时候，那么我们刚才所说的这一点，这一些呢，就更加的突出，更加的明显了。
So as practicing devotees, we should feel extremely fortunate to have access to this vast body of knowledge.
所以呢，作为在修习的像我们这样的这些奉献者，就应当为我们有机会能够接触到如此浩如烟海的文献而感到幸运。We
have access to so much information that can help us destroy all the doubts in our hearts.
我们有着这么庞大的这个知识体系，可以帮助我们驱除内心中的一切疑惑。But
it requires systematic study.
但是呢，还是需要我们去有系统的学习。We
should not rush when we read Prabhupada's books.
当阅读Srila Prabhupada的书籍的时候呢，我们不要草草了事。We
should make sure we understand everything.
我们得要确保 我们能够理解每一句话。
And then ask relevant questions.
然后是提出重要的相关的问题。
As a matter of fact, when we give a lecture such as this one, we should be able just to speak for 10 minutes and then have 1 hour of questions and answers.
When we give a class session, 事实上，当我们去讲课的时候，我们应该讲个十分钟，然后可以留出一个小时的时间来给大家提问。
We have sometimes devotees, they give lecture for 1 hour, and then maybe 1 minute for questions, and maybe sometimes there's no questions.
有的时候呢，我们有一些奉献者讲课，可能讲一个小时，但是最后留下来可能只有一分钟的提问时间，有的时候连提问的时间都没有。
But here in Mayapur, sometimes we have devotees, senior devotees, who give lecture for 15 minutes, and they say, that's it, any questions?And then all the hands come up. Devotees have so many questions.
然后呢，我们现在在玛雅普也有一些非常资深的奉献者，他们讲课的时候就讲15分钟，然后接下来就提问，或者是让奉献者来分享，所以就有好多奉献者就会纷纷的这个举手，他们有很多的问题。
I remember one time in Australia, I gave a class.
我记得有一次在这个澳大利亚我讲课。
And at the end, I asked for questions.
最后我就问，请大家提问。
And I made a big mistake.
那个时候我犯了一个很大的错误。
I told the devotees, I turned to the Matajis and said, Matajis, any questions?
我先转向他 Mataji, 我问他们说有没有什么问题。
And they had no questions.
他们没有问题。
So I said, of course you have no questions, you don't read Prabhupada's book.
然后我就说，当然了，你们不提问，因为你们没有好好的看 Prabhupada 的书。
And all the Matajis got very upset by what I said.
那我说的这个话呢，就把这些 Mataji 们都给激怒了。
So they signed a petition.
所以他们就他们就那个交了一份那个请愿书。
And they gave the petition to the temple president.
然后就把这封信就交给了这个庙长了。
That Radhachand Prabhu should not give class anymore.
Radhachand Prabhu 不能再讲课。
So they stopped me from giving class for 1 week.
所以他们就阻止了我，不让我一个星期不让我讲课。
Until I apologized to all the Mataji.
直到我向所有的 Mataji 表示就道歉。
So anyway, we have to be very careful about devotees' personal feelings.
那所以说呢，我们要非常小心的去对待奉献者的感情。
But we have to understand one very important thing that Prabhupada repeated many times.
但有一个很重要的一点，就是释迦牟尼佛经常重复。
Where he told his disciple, "I stay up all night, every night to translate these books. You should at least read them."
那释迦牟尼佛呢？他经常就是这样说。他说我那个通宵达旦的不睡觉，然后写了所有的这些书籍，至少你们去读一读吧。
So let's move on.
好，现在让我们往下讲。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Sanatan Goswami, Krishnera Swarupa Vichara Suna Sanatan Advaya Gyana Tatva Braje Brajendra Nandan. Oh Sanatan, please hear about the eternal form of Lord Krishna. He is the absolute truth.Devoid of duality, but present in Vrindavan as the son of Nanda Maharaj.
在这里，释迦牟尼佛布对萨那塔格萨米说，萨那塔，请聆听有关主 Krishna 的永恒的形体吧。他是绝对真理，去除了，他没有双重性，但是他却以 Nanda Maharaj 儿子的身份。
So in this very, very simple statement from Lord Chaitanya, there is so much information.
就是在这样的一段短短的话里面，其实里面是有大量的信息的。
First, he says Lord Krishna has an eternal form.
然后他首先说的是，就是主 Krishna 有着永恒的形体。
So the form of Lord Krishna has no beginning and no end. It's eternal.
那主 Krishna 对他就是说，他这个形体无始无终，他是永恒的。
Then he says he is the absolute truth.
然后他说呢，他是这个绝对真理。
What does that mean, absolute truth?
什么叫做绝对真理呢？
It means that it is complete and accommodates every other aspects of spirituality.
那指的就是说它是完整的，它包含了灵性的各个方面。
Then he says devoid of duality.
然后他说呢，没有双重性。
Duality means if you are here, you are not there.
这个双重性、二元性指的就是说，比如说你如果是在这里，就意味着你不是在那。
But that's not the case with Krishna. Krishna is everywhere at the same time.
这个不是 Krishna 的，这个Krishna 并不是这样的。Krishna 它可以在同一个时间出现在任何一个地方，就是我们所说的变存万有。
And yet he is present in Vrindavan.
但是呢，他却又是在 Vrindavan.
So Vrindavan means there are two Vrindavan. One is the Vrindavan in the material world, and one is Vrindavan in the spiritual world.
这个 Vrindavan 呢有两个，一个是在这个物质世界的 Vrindavan， 还有一个是灵性世界的 Vrindavan.
And in both places, Krishna is there as the son of Nanda Maharaj.
那在这两个 Vrindavan 呢？Krishna 都是 Nanda Maharaj 的儿子。
Which means he is a little boy.
就是他是一个小男孩。
And he performs his wonderful pastimes.
他一直上演着他美妙无比的逍遥时光。
So Lord Chaitanya mentioned that Krishna, who has an eternal form, his original form is the form of the son of Nanda Maharaj.
所以呢 ，Krishna 在Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就是在这里说呢，就是 Krishna 他有无数的这个。他有无数的这个形体，但是他最原本的这个形体呢，就是在 Vrindavan 的 Nanda Maharaj 的儿子的那个形体。
And then he,
他的形体都是永恒的。
And then he quotes the Brahma Samhita.
接下来他又引用了 Brahma Samhita.
You remember?
摩诃婆罗蜜里面的话。
You remember the Brahma Samhita is the book that Lord Chaitanya found in the Adi Keshava temple in South India.
大家还记得就是主持太娘马哈佛布在南印度的时候在一个 Adi Keshava 的这个庙里面发现了婆罗婆摩赞就是 Brahma Samhita
The Brahma Samhita are the hymns the glorification of Lord Brahma at the time of creation based on his own personal realizations
那这个婆罗婆摩赞 Brahma Samhita 里面所讲的就是主 Brahma 就是婆罗婆摩他在这个宇宙创造之初的时候基于他自己的个人的这个觉悟而向主献出的赞歌
And the Brahma Samhita is made of 100 chapters
Brahma Samhita 里面一共有18章
But the only chapter that remained was chapter 5
然后呢，唯一的存留下来的这个婆罗婆摩赞就是第五章。
And sometimes people they ask why out of 100 chapters we find only chapter 5.
那有的时候呢，人们有这样的一个问题，这个有婆罗婆摩赞有十八章的这个100章这样的篇幅，但是怎么我们就最后只留下了第五章，才发现了第五章呢。
When Lord Chaitanya entered the Adi Keshava temple and met with the Brahmanas，
那当这个主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他进入了这个 Adi Keshava 庙里，见到了这个一个婆罗门的时候
，and they told him that they have this manuscript。
那这些婆罗门呢，就告诉 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 说，我们有这些原稿。
He was amazed. He was in ecstasy.
当时他听到了之后呢，欣喜若狂。
So this chapter 5 only has 72 verses.
这第五章里面有72个诗节。
But this chapter 5 contains everything that there is to know about the nature of the Supreme Lord, the nature of the material world, and the nature of the spiritual world.
但是呢，在这第五章中却呈现了有 观这个物质世界的本性、灵性世界的本性，以及至尊主的本性的全部的描述。
It's like this chapter 5 of Brahma Samhita was waiting for Lord Chaitanya to come.
这就好像是这个婆罗河魔战 Brahma Samhita 的第五章，就是在聆听、在等待着 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的到来。
Because this chapter 5 of Brahma Samhita is one of the most important body of knowledge for Gaudiya Vaishnavas.
因为这个 Brahma Samhita 的第五章对于 Gaudiya Vaishnava 宗的奉献者们来说是最重要的文献。
And the first verse of Brahma Samhita, and I'm sure you all know it.
那第一个时节我想大家都是比较熟悉。
Lord Brahma says, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha.Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. We chant this every time we have a fire jagya.
就是这一段呢是就是每一次在举行这个火祭的时候必定要诵读的一段经。
So this verse explains the nature of Krishna. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, he is the supreme controller. He has an eternal.Blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes.
这段话的意思就是 Krishna 被称为 Govinda, 他是至高无上的控制者。他拥有永恒喜乐灵性的形体。他是万物之源。他没有其他的起源。他就是万源之源。
So, in this verse again, we have so much information.
在这段时节当中呢，就是蕴藏了很多的讯息。
And as we know, Sanskrit verses are known as sutras, means condensed information.
我们知道梵文的这个时节呢，通常称为 sutra。sutra 的意思就是说它是浓缩的。这个文字的世界
It's like a seed form.
它就好像是一个种子一样
And then it needs to be unfolded so we can understand the actual content.
所以就是要把它展开去才能够揭示出它里面的这个深意
So if we go through every word of this verse, we will begin to understand the vast, the vast opulence of Krishna.
所以说如果 我们能够来解析一下这个诗节里面的每一个字的话就可以看到 Krishna 的这个无比的富裕。
And this is directly coming from the mouth of Lord Brahma.
而这是从主 Brahma 的口中直接流言出来的。
So he calls the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna means all attractive.
他称这个至尊主为 Krishna. 那 Krishna 就是说是最具有吸引力的。
But he is known as Govinda.
但是呢，他又被称为是 Govinda.
Now Govinda is only a name that is used in Krishna's transcendental pastime in Vrindavan.
那这个 Govinda 呢，只是说是 Krishna 在这个他的那居所 Vrindavan 的一个。
Govinda means the lover of the cows.
Govinda 的意思呢，就是说是母牛的爱，或者爱母。
But then right after that, you said he is the supreme controller.
然后接下来又说是至高无上的，或者说至尊的控制者、主宰者。
But how can Govinda be the supreme controller when he is controlled by everyone in Vrindavan?
但是这个 Govinda 呢，他是被这个 Vrindavan 所有的人所掌控着，所控制着的。那为什么还称他是至高无上的主宰者，或者说是控制者呢？
He is controlled by his mother.
他被他的母亲所控制。
His father gives him orders.
他的父亲呢，也会命令他做这做那。
The coward boys jump on him.
那些牧牛童们经常的跳到他的身上。
He is controlled by the gopis. So how can he be the supreme controller?
那这个时候为什么又称他是,
so we understand that Krishna has different natures and different energies.
所以我们就可以看到 Krishna 他有着不同的性格,不同的本性,不同的能量。
That he can do both, be controlled by the love of his devotee and still be the supreme controller.
所以呢,他就是一方面可以被他所爱的这些奉献者的爱所控制,然后另外一方面他又可以是一位至尊的控制者,这两方面都是可以同时满足的。For
example, right now in Mayapur here at the Srimad Bhagavatam class, we are reading of Krishna's pastime, what's it called? Krishna is showing his opulence to Mother Yashoda. So most of the chapter is describing Krishna doing all sorts of nonsense as a little baby.
那在这些世界里面呢，相关的很多的这个世界都是讲的，就是 Krishna 他童年的时候，小时候他做的那些特别顽皮的事情，特别淘气。
He goes to the neighbor's home and he breaks their pots of butter, gives everything to the monkeys.
他到这个偷偷的跑到那个邻居家里面，把他们的储藏那个酸乳酪的这个罐子打破，然后把酸奶都分给猴子吃。
And then he pinches the babies and makes them cry.
然后你那些小婴儿，然后把他们都给弄哭。
And then the coward boys, they report to Mother Yashoda that Krishna has been eating dirt.
然后那些牧牛童，小牧牛童就向Yashoda妈妈告状，对他说呢，这个Krishna吃了土。
So she calls Krishna, she says, show me, open your mouth.
然后呢，他就把这个Krishna给叫到跟前，说，你张开嘴让我瞧瞧。
And Krishna tells Mother Yashoda, it's not true, they're lying, I never ate dirt.
那Krishna就说，他们都在撒谎，我从来。
It's because they are not good players, so they want to take revenge on me.
他们不跟我好好玩，所以他们就都报复我。
So she said, okay, if you didn't eat any dirt, open your mouth, you have nothing to lose.
那雅舍的妈妈就说呢，那如果你要真没有吃土的话，张开嘴来让我瞧瞧。
So this is the very basic usual interaction between little children and the family.
这个就是很小的那些小孩，他们跟家里人之间的那种故事，那种交流。
Like sometimes you see your little child, they do some nonsense, and then you say, "Show me your hands, show me your mouth. What did you do?"
比如说有一些顽皮的小孩子在那玩。 玩得开心，然后你就命令他说把手伸出来，给妈妈看看。
Like when Krishna broke the pots of yogurt and then he run away and his mother catch him, it's mentioned in the Damodarastakam how he had tears in his eyes and he was shaking because he was so afraid.
就比如说 Krishna 他把这个奶罐子打破了，然后。 雅舍的妈妈还就是在后面追着他，然后 Krishna 就非常的害怕，眼睛里面都是眼泪，充满着恐惧。But
that same Krishna would open his mouth for Mother Yashoda to check if he has eaten dirt.
但是同样的，这个 Krishna 现在是愿意把这个口打张开，然后让嘴睁开，让雅舍的妈妈来看看他是不是真的吃了土。And
what is she going to see?
那雅舍的妈妈接下来看到的是什么呢?
The entire cosmic manifestation.
整个的宇宙展示都在Krishna的口中。
So that baby who creates so much trouble in Vrindavan shows Mother Yashoda that he is actually the supreme controller.
就是这个调皮捣蛋的Vrindavan的小Krishna，但是他就通过这件事情，他就向雅舍的妈妈展示了他是 整个的宇宙万物的控制者。
And she will get completely bewildered.
这个时候亚瑟的妈妈就完全都糊涂了。
Not only you will show her the cosmic manifestation, but you will show Mother Yashoda looking into his mouth.
啊，而他不仅仅是把这个宇宙的展示在口中，让这个亚瑟的妈妈看到，而且亚瑟的妈妈居然，居然在这个他的口中看到了自己。
So these two things are compatible with Krishna. Not only is the wonderful, cute, beautiful little coward boy in Vrindavan, but he is also the supreme controller.
所以呢，这两者是可以并存在 Krishna 中的。一方面他是 Vrindavan 的一个非常顽皮淘气的一个小牧牛童，但是另外一方面他又是至高无上的主宰者。
And Mother Yashoda, she will shake her head out of disbelief.
亚瑟的妈妈难以置信地摇摇头。
And she will tell him, okay, go and play and don't do it again.
然后他就对Krishna 说，去玩吧，别再这么淘气了。
Because she can't understand what she just saw in her son's mouth.
刚才因为呢，就是他这个简直难以置信他在这个 Krishna 的口中看到的这一切，他以为自己糊涂了。
She will wonder, maybe my son is a demigod, I don't know.
然后他就在想，是不是我的儿子是个半神人呢？我也不知道他究竟是不是半神人。
But she doesn't want to think about this. This is not her relationship with Krishna.
但是他不愿意往那儿想，因为这不是他跟 Krishna 之间的这个关系。
So, Lord Brahma says also that Krishna has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body.
那主 Brahma 接着说呢，他有着永恒喜乐的灵性形体。
Which is very different from what we experience here in this material world.
这样的一个形体和我们在这个物质世界的经验是完全不同的。
We have a temporary, miserable material body.
我们拥有的是一个短暂的充满着痛苦的物质躯体。
One devotee gave class 2 days ago here in Mayapur. He says, "Krishna is transcendental. We are not transcendental."
那么在两天前的有一个奉献者在讲课的时候，就是说到，他说 ，Krishna 是超然的，我们不是超然的。
We don't have an eternal body.
我们没有永恒的形体。
We don't have a spiritual body.
我们没有灵性的形体。
Not only that, but we are struggling with the body, mind, and senses and the modes of material nature.
而且呢，我们还在挣扎于自己的躯体、心意、感官和物质的能量。
Krishna does not.
但是 Krishna 却不是这样。
Krishna has no origin.
Krishna 他没有源头。
He was never born.
他是非生者。
And at the same time, he is the origin of everything.
我已经出生就存在，那么他就是所有源头的源头。
And he is the prime cause of all causes.
他是万源之源。
I mean, it's amazing. In such a small verse, you can get so much information about who Krishna is.
所以这个是非常的了不起的。不可思议的，就是在这样短的一个诗节里面，就其中就蕴含了这么多的有关 Krishna 的信息。
So, just the name of Krishna or the name of Govinda means that he has all opulences and that his eternal abode is in Goloka Vrindavan.、That information is very clear and it's an absolute statement.
那么只是通过 Krishna 和 Govinda 这两个名字，其实就知道 Krishna 他拥有一切的富裕，而且他永恒的居所就是在 Goloka Vrindavan。那这个信息就是一个不容置疑的绝对的真理。
The Sanskrit is mentioned very nicely. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna means that Krishna is the original supreme personality of Godhead, and Govinda is his.Original name.
那么就是接下来他说的这个 Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, 意思就是说呢，就是 Krishna 他就是 最原初的这个至尊人格神手啊， Govinda 呢是他最原初的名字。
Sarveshvara Purna means complete with all opulences.
然后这个 Sarveshvara Purna 意思就是说呢，它是充满着一切的富裕。
And Goloka Nitya Dham means that Goloka Vrindavan is his eternal abode.
而 Goloka Nitya Dham 意思就是说 Goloka Vrindavan 是他永恒的居所。
So what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing here is that he begins his teachings to Sanatan Goswami by establishing the position of Krishna.
所以 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在和 Sanatan Goswami 的这个对话当中，他首先是确立了至尊主就是 Krishna 的地位。
When we want to understand something, we understand first at the origin and the source, and then we go through all the details.
如果我们要对于每某一个事物要有一个全面的这个理解的话，首先我们先从这个源头，从这个根处讲，然后再讲这个接下来延伸下来的这些细节。
Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, now that he has established the position of Krishna, now he will give the position of Krishna based on all the different expansions of Krishna.
那么首先呢，其他呢，马哈帕布确立了 Krishna 的这个地位，然后他接下来就是要通过，就是，Krishna 的这些扩展，来进一步的说明 Krishna 的位置。
Because remember, Krishna is not only in Goloka Vrindavan; he is all throughout the spiritual world and all throughout the material world.
因为我们要知道呢。不仅仅是 Krishna 一直在他的 Goloka Vrindavan， 而且呢，他在这个灵性世界，在物质世界都是无处不在的。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next will give what is known as the Paribhasha Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Paribhasha Sutra， 接下来他要给的是，有关圣典薄伽瓦坛的 Paribhasha Sutra。
The Paribhasha Sutra means the key。The key verse that opens the door to everything that we need to know about Krishna.
这个 Paribhasha Sutra 的意思呢，就是说是，关键的这个师姐，这个就好比是一个钥匙一样，打开了这道门的话，就可以敞开，像就是其他的那些师姐敞开。
Everyone should know this verse because it is mentioned in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 3, text 28, which describes all the incarnations of Krishna.
所有的奉献者呢都应该要了解这一段世界。这个是在圣典薄伽瓦坛的第一篇第三章28世节里。就是讲到了 Krishna 的种种化身。
So in this chapter, that verse that I'm going to read now is text 28, which means that before the 28th verse, each verse before that will describe different incarnations of Krishna.
This is text 28.
And before text 28, each verse describes a different incarnation of Krishna.
在这个第二十八世节前面的每一个世节呢，都谈到了 Krishna 的不同的化身。
So text 28 is the conclusion.
世节这个二十八，它其实是一个对前面所有世节的结论。
Where Shukadev Goswami says, "Ete chamchakala pumshaha Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Loke." Brillanti yuge yuge. All the incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or part of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead himself in every age. He protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra.
这段话的意思就是说，至尊神手，就是人格守神的，种种的化身，是全权的部分，或者是 Purusha Avatar 化身的全权部分的部分， 但是 Krishna 确实他本人确实至尊人格神手，在每一个年代当这个世界被 Indra 的敌人所骚扰时，他就会通过他不同的形体来保护这个世界。
So basically what this verse means is that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and from him comes different incarnation that manifest in this material world.
所以呢，这个诗节的这个要义就是说 Krishna 他是所有化身的这个源头，然后呢他的这些化身呢就是在不同的年代里会降临到这个物质世界。
And these incarnations manifest in this material world when the demigods are being disturbed by the demons.
当这个半神人们对这就是被恶魔所在物质世界被恶魔所骚扰的时候那么他这些化身就会降临到这个物质世界。
And that's what Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita.
这个就是佛家梵歌里面 Krishna 所讲到的。
That Krishna appears to annihilate the demons, to protect his devotees, and to establish principles of religion.
那 Krishna 的这个降临到这个物质世界呢，就是要铲除恶魔，保护奉献者，重建宗教原则。
Okay, so we will stop here.
那我们今天的讲课的主要的这个部分先到这里结束。
And see if there are any questions from the learned scholars in the audience.
我们看看在我们的听众中有没有一些非常博学的学者能够提出一些好问题。我们来看一下熊姐巴下去有没有什么问题。
稍微等一会儿好吗？大家还没有反应过来。
Maybe we'll wait for a minute. There's some delay, as you know. When did the word Krishna appear? In which scripture, in which literature does it happen first? Like here, in Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma said Krishna. But before that, is there any other books?
No.Krishna is telling Brahma what to say.
I'm talking about the particular word Krishna, the name of Krishna.
Yeah, that's what people in the spiritual world call him.
I'm talking about which literature?
It's everywhere, all throughout the Vedas, in the Puranas and the Upanishads. Everywhere.On this story, no shame.
Yeah. 好了，我们现在已经收到了第一个问题。Drupadi, Hare Krishna, 感恩帕布的精彩讲课，请教一个问题：盛典博加瓦坛是 Vyasadeva 编撰的，那第一篇前面部分圣人们的询问以及后人。Sukha Goswami, Sutta Goswami 来回答问题，讨论 Vyasadeva 为什么写 Srimad Bhagavatam 的这部分内容，是谁记录的？我的意思是 ，Sutta 和 Sukha 都是 Vyasa 之后的人呢 ，Vyasa 怎么会记录后人们对他的讨论呢？Hare Krishna, thank you very much for your wonderful class. I have a question. And Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled by Sri Vyasadeva. But at the first part of Srimad Bhagavatam, the inquiries of the sages, and later we found that Sukadev Goswami discussed why Vyasadeva was writing Srimad Bhagavatam, and later Sukadev Goswami was also talking to the sages in Amisharanya. So my question is, Sukadev Goswami and Sukadev Goswami are all after, they all appeared after Vyasadeva. How is it possible Vyasadeva would include them in his book, Srimad Bhagavatam?
No. Well, yeah, I can understand how it can be a little bit confusing.
我能够理解你说的这个意思，就是说让从你讲的这个来说，好像是有点让人摸不着头脑。
But you have to look into how everything unfold, especially in the first canto.
我们首先要看一下，就是它所有的这个圣典薄伽瓦坛的内容是怎么样层层递进，怎么样一层一层的打开的，尤其是第一篇。
In the first canto, the very first verse is spoken by Srila Vyasadeva.
这是第一篇当中的第一个诗节是由 Srila Vyasadeva 说的。
And so is the second verse.
第二个诗节也是。
And so is the third verse.
第三个也是。
And then we move on to six questions by the sages.
然后接下来就是圣人提出的六个问题。
So these questions were asked by the sages to Sutta Goswami.
这些问题都是由这些圣人向 Sutta Goswami 提的。
The spokesperson, who is the spokesperson, the one who speaks on behalf, is Sonaka Rishi.
那么这个代言人其实就是 Sonaka Rishi, 就 Sonaka Rishi, 他是代表着这些圣人来提问。
So Sonaka Rishi, on behalf of all the sages, asked questions to Sutta Goswami.
所以说呢，是这个 Sonaka Rishi 呢，他就是代表着在场的这些圣人，作为一个发言人，向这个Sutta Goswami 提问。
These sages are not the sages that were sitting in front of Sukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit.
这些圣人啊，并不是说是那些坐在这个 Sukadev Goswami 和那个就是Sukadev Goswami 和 Parikshit Maharaj 面前的那些。
These are different sets of sages.
这些圣人是另外一波圣人。
When Sukadev Goswami recited Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, Sutta Goswami is in the audience.
就是当 Sukadev Goswami 对 Parikshit Maharaj 来讲述圣典薄伽瓦坛的时候，当时就是也有一群圣人坐在他们的前面，那其中就有 Sutta Goswami。
So first, Srila Vyasadeva teaches the Srimad Bhagavatam to Sukadev Goswami.
所以呢，首先是 Vyasadeva 他把这个圣典薄伽瓦坛讲述给了 Sukadev Goswami.
Then Sukadev Goswami recites the Srimad Bhagavatam based on Maharaj Parikshit's inquiries.
然后 Sukadev Goswami 呢，他就是基于 Parikshit Maharaj 这个国王他所提出的这些问题而重述了这个圣典薄伽瓦坛。
Sutta Goswami is in the audience. He hears the conversation.
Sutta Goswami 呢，他就是当时是在场的听众中的一位，他听到了这些对话。
He repeats what he heard to the other sages.
然后呢，他又把他所听到的这一切重复给了其他的圣人。
So in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam,
所以在这个圣典薄伽瓦坛的第一篇，
there's a little bit of the history of the Mahabharata.
这个里面呢，其中有一部分的内容就是 Mahabharata 的这个历史背景。
Especially what happened after the battlefield of Kurukshetra.
特别是就是讲到了这个库鲁切特的战争结束之后发生的事情。
And the birth of King Parikshit.
然后就是 Parikshit Maharaj 的诞生。
And the curse of Maharaj Parikshit.
然后 Parikshit Maharaj 得到的诅咒。
And how he meets Sukadev Goswami on the bank of the Ganges.
然后又说到了在这个恒河岸边 ，Sukadev Goswami
So this is how the story unfolds.
所以这个故事就是这样,
and it's only at the beginning of the second canto that the narration of Srimad Bhagavatam begins.
那其实圣典伯加瓦坛真正的, 这个叙述是从第二篇开始的。 Did you answer the question?
Yeah.
And he said that Srimad Bhagavatam was written by Vyasadeva. He is before Sutta Goswami. And how it's possible he can include
No. Srila Vyasadeva does not include. Srila Vyasadeva's teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam, I just said, beginning in the second canto. The first canto is the history.
Does
not include anything.
Okay. 好，那这我们现在来讲第二个问题。 Sumuki Radha Dasi 询问说，感恩帕布和玛塔姐的精彩讲课，请问帕布，Krishna在物质世界的文达文展示的是他原本在国罗范文达文。 所展示的逍遥时光吗? Goloka Vrindavan, the Govinda. The question is the Krishna in the Vrindavan in the material world the same as the Govinda in the original Goloka Vrindavan?
Yes, absolutely.
是同一个, but what about the Leelas? Are they exactly the same?
No, they're not all the same.
就是逍遥时光来说, Govinda 还是同一个 Govinda, 但是, 逍遥时光是不一样的。
For example, in the material world where Krishna performs his pastimes, there are demons. In Goloka Vrindavan, there are no demons.
比如说在这个地球上的这个物质世界的 Vrindavan的话, 在他的逍遥时光里有很多的这个恶魔, Krishna杀死恶魔, 但是在 Goloka Vrindavan是没有的。
Also, the relationship between Krishna and Radha in the pastimes in the material world are somewhat different than the relationship between Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. And in fact, the Acharyas explain that when Krishna appears in this material world and his associates come with him, they're actually very, very excited because there's a lot of, in the pastimes of Krishna in the material world, there's many surprises and much excitement.
朋友也从格罗帕文达文一同伴随着他，那据说说其实他们能够跟随 Krishna 来到这个物质世界，他们都是非常兴奋、非常激动的，因为在这个物质世界的 Krishna 的逍遥时光里面呢，充满着这种冒险、刺激、这种出乎意料的事情。Because
they have to break many rules.
因为他们得要打破很多的。 规则,
it's called Manushya Lila. Manushya means human pastime.
这个叫做 Manushya Lila. Manushya Lila 的意思就是说，是人格人类的逍遥时光，就是 Krishna 是完全像一个人，普通的人那样子。Okay, 下一个是来自于 A13526804722，请问。 异性之爱是怎样捆绑住了我们的，使我们在这个物质世界难以离开？ How does the love between man and woman develop in this material world so that we are completely entangled?
This is very nicely explained in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev to his 100th son.
这个呢，你可以看看圣典伯加瓦坛的第五篇，就是在这个 Rishabhdev 就是最开始圣第五篇的最开始的这个地方
where,
你就可以看到
where he explained that the relationship between male and female is the essence of the conditioning in this material world.
他说呢就是在物质世界的这种异性之爱啊，这种男女之爱其实就是这个 物质世界的一个核心的一个那就是它的是一个物质世界的一个核心。
The attraction between male and female in this material world creates a very strong bond.
就是在这个物质世界呢，异性之间，他们之间的这种感情就会把他们束缚在一起。
Not just a physical bond, but it creates a knot in the heart.
这不仅仅是身体。和身体之间的这种结合，它还指的就是说内心当中产生的这种缠结。
And on the basis of this bondage between male and female, so many things expand.
那么就是这个物质世界其他的这个一切，其实都是源自男女之间的相互的这种捆绑。
Such as children, home, family, material assets.
比如说孩子啊家庭啊财产啊这些家庭的这些财产啊金钱啊等等这些都是从这个男人跟女人之间的这种捆绑开始延伸出来的。
And in this way, the entanglement expands.
然后呢就这样了这样他们之间的这种缠结就一的就是扩展出很多其他的物质的东西。
So this is why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he has presented the varnas and the ashrams.
这就是为什么在佛家梵歌里 ，Krishna 他说他呈现了这个 varna 和 ashram， 社会阶层。
So that human beings can be trained in this lifetime to gradually go from spiritual training.To marriage life and then gradually towards detachment.
就是说这个 Varna Ashram 是四社会阶层四灵性境界，就是它的意思就是说，通过这样的一种制度，人呢，在通过这种婚姻，通过这些阶段呢，就达到一种自我的这个进化，然后慢慢的在这个灵性上面得到提升。
Otherwise, there is no solution.To this kind of entanglement.
否则呢，这样的一种捆绑是没有什么解决的办法。
But to go back to the actual source of this entanglement is that, and that's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 13, where the male thinks that he is the controller.
其实要追根溯源的话，这样的一种束缚。就像国家梵歌的第十三章说的一样，就是人以为自己就是控制者。
In other words, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that every single living entity in this material world are actually female, prakriti.
那么就像国家梵歌里面 Krishna 所说到的，其实在这个物质世界里，所有的这些生物，所有的灵魂都是 prakriti， 其实是女性或者说是阴性。
And prakriti is dependent on purusha. Purusha means the ultimate male, that is Krishna.
那么 prakriti 呢，它其实是要依靠于这个 purusha. Purusha 指的是这个终极的这个男人。
So when a man takes birth in this material world, they will misunderstand their position and think they are purusha.
那这个人呢，当他投生到这个物质世界的时候，他就有一种错觉，觉得自己是一个主宰者，是控制者。
Purusha prakriti sthuhi bhunte prakriti jan gunan sadasat janat jogmishu. It means that when the male is misidentified, he will want to control the female.And because of the entanglement with the most natural nature, he will have to take birth again in this material world.
就是男人当他自己对自己的真实的身份有一个错误的认 持的时候，他就会觉得自己是一个控制者，然后他就是想去征服这个女人，去控制这个女人，在这个过程当中就受到了这个物质能量的这个影响。
Yeah, it says, it says karanam guna sangha. The cause of identifying with the mother material nature will force him to take birth again.
就是物质能量的这种认同会驱使着他再次投生。
So this is the misidentification which forces the male and female to become very attached to each other.
这就是这样的一种错误的一种认知认同，使得就是男人和女人被迫的在这个物质世界里一次又一次的投生。
It's a misidentification.
这是一种错误的自我认知。
Now when you read about male and female in the Srimad Bhagavatam,who are in the spiritual world, they are always with each other, but they don't have mutual attraction because they all focus on Krishna.
在圣严伯加瓦坛当中，你也可以看到，在这个灵性世界，这个男人和女人，也有男人和女人，男人和女人都是在一起的，但是他们没有说彼此之间的怎么的相互吸引的，这些描述我们看不到，因为在这个灵性世界，所有的这个吸引力的中心，这个源头是 Krishna， 所有的人他们的注意力都是全神贯注在 Krishna 的身上。
Prabhupada explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam how the ladies in Vaikuntha and the men, they are so beautiful.
是的，爸爸他就是描述过在这个 Vaikuntha 无忧的新秀的男人男性性和女性是都是这种无与伦比的美丽。
But they don't have attraction to each other because they are purely Krishna conscious.
但是在他们之间没有这个异性相吸，因为他们都拥有着纯粹的 Krishna 知觉。
That's all.
就是这样。We are easy. 感恩帕布和翻译，至尊主的第四位化身是 Dharma 王的妻子。所生的孪生子 Nara 和 Narayan 和我们在读圣典国家瓦坛前祈祷时所顶拜的圣人 Nara 和 Narayan 圣人是同一个人吗？ So the fourth incarnation who are the twins Nara and Narayan born in the womb of the wife of Dharma, are they the same asNaranaran Rishi that we prayed for before reading Srimad Bhagavatam? Are they the same?
Yeah.
是同一个。
Next one.
Olivia, Hare Krishna, 顶拜尊敬的帕布，感恩 Mataji 的甜美服务。上一次讲课您提到 Chaitanya Charitamrita 是博士后的课程，说的不是博士后吧，是博士课程。那对于新人，我们应该用什么样的心态和方式来聆听学习佛事呢？感受您的这门课的吸引，但我又是一个新人，不知应该如何做得更好，请给予指导。感恩您的仁慈 ，Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you for the sweet service by Mataji. In last class, you mentioned that Chaitanya Charita.Mrita is the PhD course, what kind of mood and methods we should adopt as neophytes devotees? What's the proper way to hear and study? We are very attracted to your class. However, I am a new devotee, a neophyte. I don't know what's the best way to do it. Please instruct me. Thank you very much for your mercy. Hare Krishna.
Very good question, Olivia.
Olivia, 你的这个问题问得很好。
I remember when I was a new devotee.
我记得我是个新奉献者的时候。
Almost 45 years ago.
几乎是45年前了。
That I did not understand everything that I read.
我看的那些书不是都能看明白的。
As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, I understood nothing.
其实实话实说，我什么也不明白。
It was too complicated for me.
对我来说实在太复杂了。
But I understood that the books that I was reading were very, very purifying.
但是我知道一点，就是说我所看的这些是对我来说是有一种很强的净化力的。
And that when I study them with the devotees and they explain things to me, I would understand better.
当我和奉献者一起来学习，然后奉献者来向我就是答疑解惑的时候，我这个时候就能够更好的理解了。
However, the philosophy is not everything.
但是哲学并不代表的全部。
It's very helpful.
对我们来说，这个帮助是很大的。
Because transcendental knowledge can and has the potency to remove all doubts from the heart.
因为超然的这个知识就有这样的一种力量，可以把我们内心中的疑惑都一扫而空。
However, it has to be supported by other activities.
但是在这个时候，你还要有其他的一些活动来支持。
Such as quality chanting.
比如说呢，就是有能够保证质量的这个念诵
，devotional service，
奉献服务
，practical activities to serve Krishna，
指的是去服务 Krishna 的一些实际的活动
，also serving the devotees，
还有服务奉献者
，and engaging in spiritual activities。
是这个从事这些灵性的活动。
And when we do all these things and regularly go back to the books, gradually the content of the books will begin to make sense.
那如果我们有所有的这一些实践，然后我们又时不时的去看这个国家梵歌等这些经典的话呢，这个你在这个过程当中的这个领悟力就会越来越提高。
Because Krishna consciousness is about realization.
因为 Krishna 知觉是围绕着这个觉悟的。
And when we chant the holy name of Krishna purely,
当我们能够比较纯粹的去念诵 Krishna 的名字的时候，
then we can understand everything that's in the scriptures.
我们就可以理解经典里面所描述的一切。
When we develop Vaishnava qualities,
当我们培养出 Vaishnava 的品格时，
everything we read will make sense.
我们所阅读到的一切的内容都会让我们理解。
So we have to take support from the main spiritual activities to get to understand what the Shastra is showing us.
所以说我们要好好的善用我们所能够做的一切的这些奉献服务。那么通过这些奉献服务，一些灵性活动的这个支持的话，你就可以对这些我们的 Shastra 经典里面的这些哲理有所理解，有所觉悟。
So you have to practice the different aspects of devotional service side by side with reading and hearing.
所以呢，这个圣典啊，不，就是对不起，这个是奉献服务是有很多面的，就是你必须要同时的去做到奉献服务的这些方方面面，然后与此同时呢，它是和你的聆听和这个阅读经典是相辅相成的。
And it doesn't matter how much devotees can study, like now in the early days of Krishna consciousness, we never had systematic study, never.
在 Krishna 知觉的这个早期，很早的时候，我们从来都没有对这个经典有一个有体系的那种学习。
And I remember we used to hear one class every morning.
我就记得我们那个时候每天早上听一课。
And most of the time, the class was not even about the verse.
很多时候的那个讲的那个课呢。其实就是这个话题就岔开了，不是说就一定是基于当天的那个师节深入的来讲。
It was about cleaning the temple, distributing books, looking for the deities.
经常是鼓励我们怎么样好好的打扫这个庙宇，怎么派书，怎么为这个神像来这个做饭。
It was about doing service.
就是经常这个。做的这些奉献服务是这个话题的中心。
It's really only since 1987 that ISKCON began to introduce systematic systematic study of Prabhupada's books.
只有是在1987年之后 ，ISKCON 才正式的引进了对 Srila Prabhupada 的这些书籍的系统化学习。
When the VIHB was opening Vrindavan Vaishnava Institute for Higher Education.
啊，就是Vrindavan 的 Vaishnava 高等学院正式成立之后。
That started in 1987.
这个是在87年的时候正式成立的。
And now we have the MIHE, the Mayapur Institute of Higher Education.
然后还有Mayapur 的这个 Vaishnava 高等学院。
And now we have Bhakti Shastri Online.
然后现在又加了这个网上的这个 Bhakti Shastri 奉爱经典的学习。
So this is, you know, how the...devotees are getting educated, but we should not forget that this education is secondary to practical devotional service and chanting quality japa.
所以说呢，现在呢，就奉献者就可以这样有体系的去学习这个哲学了，来进行一个自我教育。但是我们要知道的是，这样形式的这种教育其实还是第二步啊，是不是最重要的？最重要的还是。实际的这个奉献服务和真正有质量的念诵唱诵。
And especially I would like to add, because I mentioned this in our class here in Mayapur, that if we want to get the best realization on the scriptures is by giving Krishna to other people.
然后呢我在 Mayapur 也一直就是在强调一点，如果说我们要真正的对这个经典有所觉悟的话，最好的办法呢，就是把这门知识介绍给其他的人。
Because to give Krishna to other people, it's a kind of sacrifice that we make with our body, mind, and words. And this gives a very, very huge amount of purification in the heart, which gives way to understand the scriptures better.
因为当你努力的把 Krishna 带给其他人的时候，其实呢，他是一种心意的语言的躯体的一种多重的自我牺牲，那么这样的一种牺牲其实可以给你带来极大的一种净化力。当你的内心得到净化之后，那么你对于这个哲学对于这门知识就会有非常深入的理解和觉悟。
That's why Srila Prabhupada said work hard nowSamadhi later.
这就是为什么是帕布帕他经常是强调这一点，就是说先工作后 Samadhi. Explain, there's some new people.
It means that Prabhupada wanted devotees to be engaged, their bodies, mind, and words, to be engaged in practical devotional service, either in the temple or the ashram or giving Krishna to others.And as the result of this sacrifice, we will attain Krishna consciousness.
那释迦牟尼之所以说先工作后 samadhi, 就是先工作再冥想。这个意思呢，就是说我们呢要用我们的这个身体，用我们的语言，用我们的心意去付出这个牺牲，进行苦行，然后这样呢就会得到这个进化。自我的这个进化，当我们得到了这个进化的话呢，我们就是可以在 Krishna 的知觉上面得到长足的进步。
Okay.
Following the previous question, which is very important, Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I want to ask a question following the previous question. How to serve other devotees?
Who is asking this?How to serve other devotees?
The Sujo girl.
Oh, the Sujo girl.
Yes. 怎么样去服务其他的奉献者呢?
Well, there are two ways to serve the devotees.
要服务其他的奉献者有两个方面。
Based on the facilities that we have today.
这个基于我们今天我们现在所拥有的一些条件。
One is to physically serve the devotees by being with them.
第一个就是说你跟奉献者在一起，身体力行的和他们在一起。
Which is kind of limited, especially now.
这个呢，从现在来说的话，可能是有局限的，尤其是现在。
Because people are asked to stay indoor
因为大家现在都在家里待着。
And it's actually not possible to meet with the devotees.
现在甚至连和奉献者在一起，这种联谊可能都暂时做不到。
But we have the facility of the internet, and we should use it fully to our advantage.
但是我们现在还是有互联网，所以说我们可以尽可能的去运用这个工具。
So we can serve the devotees by interacting with them, inquiring from them.
所以我们可以就是说和他们交流，然后向他们询问。
Developing friendship with them.
与他们培养这个。友谊
and ultimately to make plans to meet and to be actively engaged in serving them.
然后呢，就是为我们未来的这个见面能够做一些准备。那个时候，当我们真的和奉献者在一起的时候，就可以实际的去服务他们了。
I mean, the more I think about this very unfortunate epidemic.
当我去思考这个看似不幸的这个病毒的疫情的时候
，and it's very very deeply saddening to see all these people dying。
当我们看到现在的国内的这个疫情肆虐，这么多人，死于这个病毒。
But we have to look at the bright side of things.
但是我们要看另外一面，就是光明的、乐观的这一面。
And I can't help, but and I think about this every single day.
其实每天我都在思索这个问题。
That this unfortunate epidemic, when it is over, and it will be over.
这个不幸的这个病毒疫情结束，等结束之后，当然现在已经是慢慢的开始消失了。
It's going to improve people's lives tremendously.
我相信这个事件会在很大的程度上面提高人们的生活。
People will learn some very good lessons.
人们可以从这个事件当中吸取很多很好的教训。
About their diet.
关于他们的饮食。
About their relationships.
还有人跟人的关系。
About what they do with their time.
那他们怎么样运用自己的时间。
And especially with the devotees who have been separated for such a long time.
特别是奉献者彼此之间分离这么长时间。
When they're going to meet again, it's going to be very, very powerful spiritual experience.
当再一次奉献者相聚在一起的时候，将是一种非常强烈的灵性上的这种体验。
So a devotee always sees how people can be uplifted spiritually out of a dark situation.
所以奉献者们经常关注的就是说，在一个看似黑暗的一个困境之中，人们应当怎样得到灵性上的提升。
We can't wait to come back.
我们已经迫不及待地想回中国。
So we can serve the devotees.
这样我们就可以去服务奉献者了。
So hopefully we will be visiting devotees in many places this year.
希望今年我们可以去到不同的地方和奉献者们在一起。
Including Suzhou.
包括苏州。Can you specify a little bit more how to serve in practical way towards devotees?
Yeah, I mentioned now we are restricted.
He's not talking about now, he's in general.
Yes, so we meet with the devotees and then we inquire how we can serve them. Devotees do many practical activities.
我们可以见到奉献者，然后去询问奉献者，我怎么样才能够去服务你。那么奉献者们都会以各种很实际的方式来相互服务的。
We can cook for them.
我们可以为他们做饭，就给他们
吃好吃。We can arrange program for them.
是的，可以为奉献者去安排一些活动，去灵性的活动。
We can associate with them.
我们可以和他们在一起，与他们联谊。
We can help in their program.
我们当奉献者去就组织他们的一些活动的时候，我们也可以去那里向他们表示支持。
We can supply facilities for them.
我们也可以为他们去提供一些自己有的一些设施、一些条件。
There are so many different ways we can assist.
就是我们去协助其他的奉献者，去帮助其他的奉献者， 是可以用很多各种各样的方法的。
And we find out about all these different ways of serving by being in their company, being in their association.
那你怎么样才能够去服务奉献者？最好的方法就是你能够跟奉献者在一起，通过这样的这种交流相处，你自然就会知道他们需要些什么，应当怎么样去更好的就是去服务他们。还有一个问题，来自于 A135， 灵魂高于智性，当智性难以明辨时，灵魂是怎样指导智性的呢？ The soul is higher than intelligence, but when the intelligence is bewildered and can't discriminate, how does the soul guide the intelligence?
It's a very good question.
这个问题问得很好。
This is mentioned in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
这个是在国家梵歌的第三章中有所描述。
The intelligence that Krishna is referring to is Buddhi.
那 Krishna 他所说的这个智性是
Buddhi means spiritual intelligence.
他说的智慧，智慧呢指的就是 Buddhi。Buddhi 的意思就是我们好像说菩提，它指的是一种灵性的智慧。
In other words, there is intelligence which is understood to be as the intellect.
所以说呢，我们说到的这个智慧、智性，可以是两个方面，一方面就是说是纯粹的一种智力，跟你的这个智商有关。
So the intellect is all the information that we receive based on the interaction with the object of the senses.
那你这种智性呢，它是源于你和不同的感官的对象之间的相互作用和这种互动而来的这种经验。
But the intelligence that Krishna is referring to is the intelligence which is connected to transcendental knowledge.
但是 Krishna 他所提到的这个智慧呢，指的是和超然的知识相关的智慧。
So transcendental knowledge can remove doubts and confusion when the intelligence is troubled.
当智性受到困扰难以明辨的时候，超然的知识呢就可以给予这个智性以指导。
That's the difference.
这个就是区别。就是当这个超然的知识给予指导的时候，你就有了真正的智慧。
Does that make sense?
可以去明辨了。
Does that make sense?
Basically talking about how the soul can guide the intelligence. But this intelligence means mind intelligence and false ego. That
That's
intelligence.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. So the soul actually gets the transcendental knowledge.
Yes.
这个，当你要去学习超然的知识的时候，实际上这个时候是灵魂它已经苏醒了，它去吸收这个超然的知识，所以通过这个超然的知识学习经典奉献服务，这个智性呢，它就可以在这超然知识的这个指引之下得以明辨。
As long as the intelligence, material intelligence, the mind and the ego.Are working together, the soul is not interacting. The soul only interacts when transcendental knowledge guides the intelligence.
就是说，如果说撇开了这个超然的知识的话，只是心意、智性和这个假我在那活动的话，这个时候灵魂还没有苏醒，它是不参与的。只有当这个超然的知识开始对你的智性以指引的时候，这个时候呢，这个灵魂它才参与。
Okay, so we will stop here.
那我们今天的讲课就到这里。
The sun has come out in Mayapur.
现在这个太阳已经在 Mayapur 升起了。
So we will prepare to go to the temple.
所以我们就要做准备，等一会儿就要去庙里。
And we will offer some prayers to Sri Panchatattva, to Radha Madhava and the eight Shakis, and to Lord Nrisingadev.And to Srila Prabhupada to keep everyone safe in China.
我们会在神庙里向 Panchatattva 五圣体的神像，向 Radha Madhava 和八个三体牧牛姑娘们，还有向主女星海德，向 Srila Prabhupada 祈祷， 祈祷他们来保佑中国的奉献者能够健康安全，在灵性上得到长足的进步。
And we will pray that next year 500 Chinese devotees will come to Mayapur.
我们也祈祷明年能够有至少500个奉献者来 Mayapur.
We will all be together.
我们将团聚在一起。
Thank you, Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
非常感谢 Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
Thank you, Krishna Premi Mataji, for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi Mataji 的翻译。
Thank you to all the devotees and for your excellent questions.
感谢所有的奉献者提出的精彩的问题。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Kasha Desh Yatra Ki Jai, Sri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol。
百坤在知音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，今天的永恒的启发南京是启发南城从尼萨的讲课就到这里结束了。我们下周同一时间，星期三早上再见。Hare Krishna。